it's not apparently working. Maybe Julia stepped away for a moment. Maybe we can go on to, she just wrote in the chat, it's not working on her phone either. One thing we could do is there somebody who's on here by phone who wants to call Julia and we're patch her in that way? Is someone clever enough to do that?
I'll do it, James.
Thank you. Should we go ahead and do the start into the committee reports just while James is getting Julia on the line? And so the first one up is the audit committee report, and I've invited Eileen Rosin to the meeting this evening as the pro tem chair of the audit committee to give us a report. Take it away, Eileen. You're muted still. Am I going to have to go to another committee? I'm kidding.
Sorry, my toolbar was hidden by some other icons. Anyway, give me a second to get this out here. Yeah, I checked in with Jorge, our auditor, today, as well as Julia. And here's what Jorge says. You know, the auditor is moving full speed ahead on working through all the materials. He said that he has sent the bulk of the testing selections to NETA, and they are working hard, pulling all the samples and answering our questions. As they continue to pull the support, the auditors will work on drafting the financial statements and updating the footnotes. So things are progressing, but it is still too early to put an expected finish date to this. Jorge hopes to have a rough estimate of the
completion. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, but we moved on to letting Eileen do the audit committee report. We'll come right back to you then.
Yeah, I'm almost done with the actual report. And Jorge hopes to have a rough estimate of the completion date early next week, and he will let us know. One thing, I don't know if everybody understands what the testing selections are about. So I thought I could just explain that for a minute. You know, one part of the audit is putting together all the numbers and seeing how they add up and finding out if there are any holes and evaluating how the money is flowing. But part of it is also when we talk about testing selections, it means that the auditor will pick, not quite random, but will pick a sample of operations that could be whether on the revenue or the expense side, and he wants to see the backup documentation that validates that activity. So if a station has written a check to somebody, that means we want to see probably an invoice, and we want to see that it's gone through the proper approval process, which might be, you know, first a business manager or an ETA or the general manager, and then that it's the check is actually cut or the transfer and goes out. So that's the testing is kind of a separate part from putting the numbers together. I just thought, you know, maybe not everybody knew that. So in other words, things are moving along, but we don't know exactly when the audit will be ready. And that's the report.
Thanks, Eileen. There's also, I was forwarded a motion from the audit committee, and one thing that I want to share, and that motion was part of the agenda, right? It was in the appendix for the PMB members. One thing I wanted to ask Eileen about, and basically, let me just to give people a sense so that it's not, I'm not being, there's not a lack of transparency. the motion is about, you know, were there delays in the audit at a particular unit and in terms of getting documentation done, and, you know, should the finance committee look into, or requesting that the finance committee look into it and offer solutions so that the FY21 audit could be carried out in a timely manner. And so what I'm going to do now is refer to the fact that Darlene Pagano sent an email around to all the PMB members with a bunch of information about the audit. And the question I'm going to pose to Eileen is the following. If the PMB were to take up this motion, would it have any possible effect on speeding up the audit for FY21?
That's the current audit, right?
The current audit, exactly.
Yes. I would say no. I think it would have a detrimental effect, because the motion is to ask the Finance Committee to look into delays at any or a given unit in getting the documentation required, some of that backup documentation that I was talking about a minute ago. The Finance Committee, who is going to do that work? I don't know who's going to do the work of investigating, but that's kind of a side issue. It's that if we're going to ask, any TA would have to be involved one way or another, and any TA is still working on, checking numbers and things like that. So I think it would be a distraction if they had to do any work in terms of investigating such things. I think, and I've said this in emails, at least to the audit committee, that I'd rather, you know, I think a different approach might be to talk to the different stations and see what their problems are and how we or the finance committee or whoever could help them, get past their problems once they're properly identified, you know, rather than just trying to figure out, you know, who's at fault for delays, if anyone really is, if that's clear.
Yeah, no, thanks. That's very helpful. What I'm going to do is given that your answer, Eileen, was that it wouldn't do anything to speed up the FY21 audit, and in fact, if anything, it would slow it down, I'm going to rule the motion out of order. I think, you know, it's imperative for us to get our audit done. We're already somewhat delayed. Julia Kennard will wind up giving her CFO report momentarily when we finish with the audit committee and report. And, Julia helped secure an extension for the audit. And I think, you know, if anything, there's nothing to be gained by slowing down this audit and then causing us to miss the extension deadline, perhaps. And then the other thing I was going to say about that is I do like the idea of perhaps doing a postmortem on the audit, you know, to figure out how can we be better prepared for the FY22 audit when, you know, at the end of the fiscal year, what can we do to make that audit happen as quickly as possible, and make sure that the stations are in a good position to do that. But I think that would be a much better use of our time. And so I'm going to rule this motion out of order, in which case, although I want to say I appreciate the audit committee being, trying to be on the ball about figuring out what problems and issues are, but I think it would be, you know, time much better spent if we, look forward and focus on what can we do to make the FY22 audit go faster and not slow down the FY21 audit. And so, that's my ruling. And, so that completes the audit committee motion or the audit committee report.
Can I elaborate?
Go ahead. You may add something.
Yeah, I do want to mention that another topic that came up in our last meeting was looking at the management letter. As most of you know, but maybe not everybody or not everybody listening, after the audit proper is done, the auditor will emit what's called the management letter, where he evaluates, how to describe it, it sort of goes through what our main problems are and makes recommendations. And different auditors do it a little bit differently, but we talked about going through the management letters and seeing what the main points are and how we could try and, if it's not the audit committee's purview exactly, to see how to channel these problems to the right place, whether it's the finance committee or our ED or a CFO or whoever, to see that action is taken on them, because years have gone by with some of the same issues pointed out, you know, a very simple one being separation of duties at some of the stations where you have the same people, you know, writing the checks and approving the checks. In some cases, that's a simplistic way of putting it, but things along those lines. And then, you know, another problem that has come up a number of times is being able to reconcile the revenues from, like, fund drives and donors to the bank statements. And it seems like each station is trying to do it a slightly different way, things like that. So, you know, we'll be back in touch about that once we get the management letter, which can come to us anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks after the audit is actually done. Yeah?
Yeah. Thanks, Eileen. Teresa Allen has a question. Teresa, go ahead.
I have two questions. The management letter, that's something for the public, right? So if they've done the audit and then they do the letter and it's too late to do anything about it, I mean, do we have any advance notice of what we can fix?
Well, it's not going to be, we're not expecting to fix things for the 2021 audit because it'll already be done. This is like Julie called it she's post-mortem about something else, but it is the auditor's post-mortem of the audit. But these are things that we can take action on for the next audit and future audits.
But is the auditor telling you right now what you need to fix?
No, that'll come in the management letter.
Okay. My second question is, I was told that someone yelled at the auditor at one of the recent audit meetings, and are you doing anything?
No, that's not true. The auditor has not even been at our audit meetings lately.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Let me just add one thing, which I think is that Teresa suggested that the management letter was public, and we generally speaking hold those things confidential, so they are not public. You know, because basically, you know, it's the auditor's advice to management saying, here are the things that you can fix up. So it's a little bit of a performance evaluation of management. And so we generally do not release those to the public.
Right. We never send them, for example, to donors. You know, donors can ask us for our audit, but we don't send them the management letter. Nobody has the right to ask for that. It belongs pretty much to the board of directors and management.
That's right. And I think that's standard practice. It's not something that Pacifica invented because we were trying to, you know, sweep things under the rug. All right. Correct. Thanks. Okay, so now let's go back to the CFO report. Julia, are you available by voice?
I hope so.
Yes, you are. Yes, go ahead.
I have no idea what was going on with that. Okay, just to piggyback on what Eileen was saying, as far as someone being yelled at, they might be confusing, quote, who the auditor is. I sometimes refer to our NETA employee, George, as an auditor. He's our internal NETA auditor that reviews a lot of this information before it goes out. So it might have been him. But the auditor that you're contracted with has not been on the calls that I'm aware of in quite a while. Also, talking about the management letter, there are items on prior year management letters that have not been addressed yet. That will be an issue on for this year as well. It is a struggle to try to get change in certain areas, but we'll talk about that later. And I'll get back to my main points. Really what I wanted to touch on tonight was just give you a quick cash update, kind of fill you in on where we are with the day-to-day activities and the financials, and then also, you know, kind of touch on the audit, although it sounds like Eileen touched, you know, discussed the majority of what needs to be talked about there. As far as cash, in a nutshell, I do not have information from KPFA today, 100%, because I didn't even ask for it. Obviously, they're the larger station, and that staff was tasked with pulling a lot of information today for the testing from the auditor today. So I didn't even bother them. And then KPFT, I did not reach out to them this afternoon, but I kind of had a feel where they were. But I can say with confidence, 5 of the 7 units are in a position to be able to fund the July 15th payroll and the August health insurance. Please keep in mind that August health insurance has to be paid in the prior month based on the prior month due date, because you always pay your health insurance for the upcoming month. So that's why I'm already talking about August. But 5 of the 7, I feel confident, are in good shape. And the other 2, I think we'll probably pull it out, but we'll know more in the next week. Right now, total cash, not including KPFT and KPFA, is about $285,000. And keep in mind, if you were to go and look at the bank statements or even look at the cash on online, what the cash balances are, it would be higher than that. I'm saying that it's at $285,000 because what I do is I bank funds for the upcoming payroll. So, for example, with KPFK, they've had a fund, you know, they've been in the fund drive for several weeks. They do have more than $5,000 in the bank right now, but in my mind, they have $5,000. That is because I take that cash that they do have, and I mentally back out the payroll amount, the health insurance amount, the payments for the electricity. There's some very short list that Stephanie knows, because she sees my stuff all the time, that I keep as my short mental list. But again, $285,000 in cash. My estimate is that the AP, outstanding AP right now, is at least $650,000. And that does not include KPFT or KPFA. Odds are KPFA does not have a lot of past-due stuff hanging out there. So if we just take into consideration, the majority of that is going to be the national office at $335,000. And, you know, knowing that they're not receiving central services from most places, WPFW is consistently paying their central services, and KPFA is as well, but goose egg from everyone else. The KPFK payables is about $190,000. And WBAI is at about $114,000 right now. And that's not including, you know, with central services and, what else, you know, past payrolls and things that might be owed. So, that's how the split is between the national office, KPFK, and WBAI with their payables. WPFW is, I'm not sure when their fund drive is ending, but they are in a good position with their cash right now. But as James and I have discussed, you know, they are very easy to follow with their ebbs and flows, ups and downs with their cash. You know, they'll have that cash sitting there at the beginning of the quarter after they've ended their fund drive, and then it just slowly goes down over the quarter. Then they'll have their fund drive again, and it'll be back up. So that's why they are flush, what we would, might consider these days as flush with cash, because they are just now probably winding down on their fund drive that they had in June. The archives had $700, I believe she said today. They haven't received the deposits from the fund drive yet, but clearly it was necessary, and they'll need to use that to obviously fund payroll and health insurance and whatever their July expenses are, and hopefully have some left over to get them through a couple of payrolls. That's probably the most detail I need to go in with that. Does anybody have any questions about the cash situation and the payables that's appropriate for open session? If not, I can move on.
It looks okay. Like, Susan, hang on. Teresa Allen had a question, and maybe Susan Young does too.
I think you were talking about cash on hand. I can't understand. I can't hear you very well. But you said something about KPFA and KPFT not being included on cash on hand. I don't know what that was all about. Can you repeat that?
Right. KPFA, the staff there was tasked with pulling an extensive list of items for the audit today. They received a long list from the auditor today that I sent them. So I didn't even bother asking them for their cash because I needed them to focus on pulling the items for the audit.
And what did you mean about KPFT?
Their situation was a smaller situation. I know when I spoke with her last pay period that she felt like they would be fine this pay period. And again, you know, I shot her an email, but it was later this afternoon, so I didn't really give her enough of a heads up to be able to get back to me.
I thought that you had access to see what the cash on hand was in our bank accounts.
Not at KPFT, no.
Okay. You know, I don't know whether we need to discuss this in the executive session or what, but I still don't understand why you can't see what's happening in that bank account. And it frustrates me to think of how you have to like jump through hoops to get what you need. I'm sorry. Very sorry.
Yeah, that's okay, and I won't go into much detail here. That's not the staff's issue. It is it's a signature update issue in trying to add us online, and I think that's something that Stephanie and Julie are trying to address with getting the signatures updated on everything.
All right, so let me ask one quick other question then. At one time, the PNB was checking to the possibility of using one bank for all of our units. Would that save us much money?
You know, I think you'd have to pull it together and get the banks to give you a pitch on what their fees would be. It would be a lot easier, but I know some stations are opposed to that because, at least what I've been told, is that the theory is that somebody will come in and take funds from their accounts to fund another station.
Okay.
I guess from prior experience. Mm-hmm.
We did get an estimate on that at one time. We had a presentation. It was in New York. One of the banks came in and gave us an estimate, a presentation. Thank you.
Well, it definitely would make things easier with people paying their central services and their health insurance and payroll. For example, the archives uses the same bank, so all she has to do is she just enters in a transfer request, and one of us goes in and approves it. So it's you're not paying for a wire, and you're not waiting for a check, and Anyway, was there someone else?
Not now.
Okay. You know, I really do feel like Eileen addressed the audit situation pretty significantly, or pretty well. I do want to say, it hits me sometimes that I forget that if you don't work in this for on a daily basis, that you don't realize the volume. And I just want to give one example so it will help maybe kind of put this together more for some people who don't have their hands in a financial type of work on a daily basis. I was speaking with the auditor today, and it coincidentally happened to be WPFW. And we were looking at one account, one revenue account. And that one revenue account had 500 lines of transactions that were batches. And those 500 lines of batches, so you can imagine that probably makes sense that you batch credit cards every day and you batch checks every day. And you might have multiple, credit card processors, whether it's PayPal or Stripe or, so those are all different batches. So you have 500 lines in that one revenue account, and each of those lines, then if you drilled through it, could have two lines or could have another 500 lines, because it's going to have every transaction, every $10 gift, every $15 gift, every $1,000 gift. And so that's where we have to go through this process of making that usable information that he can then put into his little calculator that tells him how many samples he has to take from that initial 500 lines that really is most likely thousands of lines by the time you get through it. And then he tells us which deposits, you know, he wants to see the check, deposit slip, or say it's on the flip side, it's the expense. Same thing, except you don't have batches usually with expenses, but, you know, every transaction, they look at it on a percentage basis and how much, what the size is of that unit. And it tells them how much they have to pull. And then we have to start pulling. And you can't plan ahead because you do not know which deposit it's going to be or which invoice is going to be. That's why you want to make sure you have all of your stuff organized when this comes, because when you get it, like for mine, we are fortunate we have the document management system for everything that was a national office, the archives, you know, things like that. So I'm able to just go and go boop and find it, you know, what I consider fairly quickly. You know, I don't know what it's like in some of the stations if they're using paper files. That means you're going to paper files, pulling them, scanning them, labeling them properly, sending them to me. Then I'm uploading it to the document, to their portal. It's a lot. So, again, just wanted to kind of let people know that it's a high volume. Any questions?
I'll just say thank you very much, Julia, for explaining that, because that really was kind of helpful to understand, you know, the detail and the rigor that's associated with an audit, and appreciate your report. All right. Thanks, Julia. So now we're back to going through the committee reports, and the next committee that's on the list is the coordinating committee, of which I am the pro tem chair. And I will simply report that the coordinating committee met on June 30th and developed the agenda for this meeting. And so, you know, we heard from lots of people, and everybody's items were on the agenda. And, you know, with the exception of the fact that I dropped the ball on an email item that came in later. So next up is the Finance Committee report, and that's a 10-minute item. Jim Sagerton?
Yes. Hi. Thank you. I don't know if you recall, but in the coordinating committee, I said I wouldn't need much time for this report. Doesn't matter. You know, we can use as much or as little as we need of the time allotted. We did not have a meeting last week. I put out as the reason we canceled our meeting that the work was ongoing on the audits, which you've just heard about. Some critique of that. The message that I put out was that we were working on the audits was made. And when I say we were working on the audits, I mean, we are trying to help gather the information, facilitate the gathering of the information that is required for the audits. Not that we were working on the audits, because of course we don't work on the audits. That's a third party independent firm that does that. That's why you hire an auditor, because it's an outside neutral party that's looking at your books. That's the explanation for why we didn't have a meeting. The CFO was very busy with gathering the information that the auditors needed. I was asked to facilitate something in that regard. I thought other members of the committee might have been doing that as well. So that was the reason for the explanation for not having a meeting. And other than that, we don't have anything to report, except I wanted to say, and this chair is what I said I would say in this report, how good it has been working with NETA. I was on the audit committee in 2016. We were four audits behind. Now we're caught up. We've got budgets that we hadn't had for years. Now we're having them. Hopefully next year we're going to have them even in a more timely way. And it's been announced at the last audit committee meeting that NETA will no longer be with us come September 30th, unless we can come up with some additional funds, and then they'll help us beyond that date if we can arrange for that. And I think you have seen by what the report you just heard, you have seen what we're going to be missing. They have done this work for us at a greatly reduced cost as to what it used to cost us when we did a lot of this work internally, and it's a better product. And I want to thank Julia for the work, and Anita before her, and still hoping that we can somehow figure out a way to work this out. And it really is just a matter of us getting our revenue up so we can afford to pay the people that we need. That's all, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Are there any questions for Jim? All right. Hearing none, we will move on. The next is the Elections Committee, which I think we gave 5 minutes to. Is there a report from the Elections Committee? I'm not hearing anyone. All right, then we'll move on. Programming Committee. Programming.
All right, Julie, this is Heather.
Yes, Heather.
So we did send out, it's on the agenda, the Program Committee motions. I just want to mention that motion B and C were passed actually by the Pacifica Board in 2017. We could go into some of the details of that, and I'm going to ask Jim Dingman to assist me on some of this because he was around at that time. But what we're asking is that given the fact that we're having financial issues and so forth, that a lot of this would probably have to do with some of our programming, and that it's time that we had more of a critical look at the programs. So the first part of this that I'd like to read, actually, that we sent out to folks, as it is crucial that programming be improved at all five stations, the PNB asks the executive director to ensure that the following Pacifica programming policies be implemented at all five stations. Excuse me. Further, the PNB asks the ED to report progress about this implementation to the PNB within 2 months. So I just want to mention that these motions that are in the agenda, the first one, Programming Committee B, is looking at the programs in all of the stations, just sort of a general assessment of all the stations. And the second, Programming Committee C motion, is beginning to look at all the individual programs in the Pacifica stations, just to have an assessment of the amount of money the programs are generating, the membership, and so forth. And the other thing is we need to have a better idea of who has the capability of accessing the Nielsen ratings. But so, Julie, I don't know where else to go with this except to say that we're asking that the Pacifica Board actually approve this initiative. So, Jim Digman, do you want to add something here? Jim?
Jim?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, I think the motion by Grace was passed in a while ago. So it's actually policy. I think it was passed by the board. And there are other motions that I think I've seen other people throw in there that were passed by the board in the past. There's literally a whole slew of motions that have been passed by the programming committee. They're still active in the sense that they were passed and then they weren't even sent up. So there's a whole bunch of stuff to be considered. But, you know, these are no-brainer kind of policies. It's just really reiterating what was passed by the board in the past, that motion by Grace.
So essentially we're asking that the board approve this initiative to begin looking at the programs, both at all of the Pacifica stations, but also begin doing an assessment of the individual programs at stations. So that's what we're asking for.
Got it. Thanks. So maybe what I'll do here is, maybe ask Mr. Tatum for some advice as our parliamentarian. Given that we at least are pretty sure that the Grace Aaron motion, which is item B on the list, was approved back in 2017, but that, of course, I mean, it's a motion that talks about the job descriptions. Well, here, let me just read the motion so that everybody knows what I'm talking about. Motion. That the job descriptions of all Pacifica program directors include the following. The program director is expected to improve the listenership of the station. If the station does not subscribe to Nielsen ratings, the listenership shall be estimated based on the following metrics, each one given equal weight. One, the number of online listeners tabulated by an analysis of the information available on http://stats.pacifica.org and or individual downloads or online listeners tracked on individual station websites. Two, the gross revenue of the station as improved listenership generally is reflected in improved revenue. Three, increased membership as improved programming builds larger audiences and results in more listener support and loyalty. So that was the motion. So Mr. Tatum, that motion would have been passed before Stephanie was the executive director. And so, you know, at the moment, really, you know, we don't know whether this is accurately reflected in the job description of all of the program directors, et cetera. And so what should we do with a motion that was previously passed but maybe isn't being adhered to? And can we do something like reaffirm a motion that was previously passed? Your advice as a parliamentarian.
Yeah, that's exactly the word I was going to use, reaffirm, because all of that stays in effect until you amend it, rescind it, just throw it away, whatever. It just stays in effect. Now, when you reaffirm that policy, it just means that you want to continue it in force.
Thank you very much. Would someone like to move that we reaffirm that motion that I just read? That we as the PMB reaffirm that motion that I just read?
I move that.
Thank you, Jim Dingman. Is there a second?
This is Heather. I'll second.
Thank you, Heather. Is there any discussion of reaffirming the motion from we think 2017. I see Jim Dingman's hand up. Jim, go ahead. Oh, he took his hand down. I see Susan Young's hand up. Susan, go ahead.
Yes. It's clear that there have been at least one or two EDs that have not implemented this. So I'm wondering why it has been deemed to be so burdensome. And I would like to, I support this concept, but it would be valuable to know as it's being implemented whether there are obstacles and difficulties that are created with this. It would be good to have feedback from Stephanie and from HR before they go. Give an example of something I think is questionable is give equal weight to A, B, C. I don't know if we should be adopting a policy that says give equal weight to A, B, C. And there was a relatively long list of stuff. So I'd kind of like to understand how this would actually work and why management has apparently been obstructive about it since 2017. 4 years, we're what, how many, 5 years later?
Thanks. Jim Dingman has his hand up. Go ahead.
Well, people have been obstructive to these kind of measures for 20 years. Some people here have been on-air staff. So what's being described there is something that was normal when I first came on the air back in the early 90s. I mean, to have somebody evaluate you, to have somebody – it was actually part of the CPB application process back then. You had to actually have a self-evaluation, and you had to have an evaluation by the public affairs or arts director. So this was actually – this is no-brainer stuff. In fact, in the program director descriptions that one sees, this is part of the program director description. I've seen any number of them through Pacifica over the past 25, 30 years. And this is SOP. This is one of the problems that exists, that this is broken down completely and is done in different kind of ways at different stations, but it's a no-brainer that things like this should be insisted upon.
Thanks. Susan, do you have your hand up again?
Yeah, just back on the stack.
Go ahead.
I favor endorsement of reapproval of support of this motion going forward. But I would like for this to be an interactive process. And we get feedback from the ED, NETA when they're available, and from the GMs and the PDs about things that do and do not work well. So I would like us to be open to feedback and consider this to be the start of a process that should be interactive over time.
Thanks. Jim Dingman, did you put your hand to be back on?
Yes, I did. This process has never, ever been taken seriously in the past 20 years in different ways in many of the stations. And there have been constant repeats. I could go dig up constant reiterations of similar policies ignored. And so we're dealing with a policy. I mean, Serene's come up with a policy that she had passed that has elements of the same thing that was passed in 2015. So these kind of policy initiatives have been passed again and again and again. And the issue of like studying them and looking at them. I mean, we're way past that given the collapse of the stations. I mean, this is like, we're way past that. And so I just think this is something that this is policy that was passed by the board in the past. And to have a discussion about it, to, you know, decide about it or talk about it, I think is, you know, frankly irrelevant in terms of the importance of actually getting these kind of things going at this time. So I'm opposed to waiting about this. Let's put it this way. Okay. We always stall about dealing with this kind of issues, and look what it's cost us. We're at the point of collapse.
May I be clear?
Yeah, go ahead, Susan.
Jim, I support moving forward on this right now. Okay? I support moving forward on it right now.
Thanks, Susan. Is there anyone else who has anything to add or, you know, any discussion on this besides Jim Dingman and Susan Young who aren't really disagreeing? All right. Oh, Jim Sagerton, go ahead.
Just want to call the motion.
Thank you. Let me start with, are there any objections to the motion to reaffirm the motion from 2017? I'm hearing no objections. The motion carries. Okay, so the second motion that was listed there was a little longer, also proposed by Grace Aaron, apparently with some amendments in italics, and the italics aren't there anymore, so that doesn't really matter. Okay, so let me, I will read the motion and then we'll proceed with it. Okay, here we go. Listenership at all five stations has been declining, as far as we can tell, without subscribing to Nielsen ratings. Declining listenership has resulted in declining membership and income. This has been forcing stations to lengthen fund drives and to resort to other measures to make ends meet. Because of this, it is imperative that programming improvement be a top priority. Therefore, it is necessary to evaluate programs on an individual basis. Thus, the program director is charged with evaluating every program using the following criteria. 1, Nielsen ratings if available. 2, amount of money generated by the program. 3, amount of membership generated by the program. 4, does the program content conform with the Pacifica mission? 5, willingness of the programmer to create learning opportunities for interns, including affording them some on-air experience. 6, sound quality of the program. 7, production values of the program. 8, does the program subject matter add diversity to our grid in terms of appeal to varied demographics and interests? 9, does the program have a social network presence, and is the programmer and or producer promoting through social media and other outreach? 10, input from stats.pacifica.org, community advisory boards, PNB National Programming Committee, and AudioPort program sharing history. 11, amount of volunteer participation of programmer in station operations and events. Programs should be judged based on their placement on the grid. In other words, as morning drive time has a higher potential audience, it should be expected to produce more income than shows in a less advantageous time slot. The program director should first evaluate all programs involving paid staff. The next evaluation priority will be all programs in daytime hours during the week and on weekends. That's the end of the motion. And once again, let me just ask Heather, we believe that this motion was also passed previously by the PNB, right?
Yes, it was actually.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. So then once again, we would be in the position of deciding to, you know, deciding whether or not to reaffirm this motion as the current PNB reaffirming this motion. Would someone like to move?
Motion to reaffirm.
Thank you, Susan. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Jim Dingman. Any discussion of this motion? All right, I'm hearing no discussion. Does that mean we're ready to move to a vote? Or ready to, yes, call the question, which is to say, are there any objections to reaffirming this previous motion? Hearing no objections, the motion is reaffirmed. Thank you all. All right. there's another motion as regards programming that is offered by Susan Young. Susan, do you want to read your motion?
What I'd like to do is to move to postpone it to the September meeting. The reason why I say that is I think everybody's got to focus on the two motions that were just adopted together with evaluation of the national fundraising. And I think on the basis of those, we can better understand whether the motion I have offered is well crafted and necessary. So I move to postpone consideration of that motion until the September meeting.
Thank you. Heather, I see your hand up. Oh, wait a minute. You moved to postpone. Is there a second to the move to postpone? Well, I guess is the motion actually on the floor?
Yeah, I'll second it. I'll second to postpone.
Okay. Thank you, Jim Dingman. Heather, your hand's up. Is it about discussing postponing this motion?
No, it's not. It's not.
Okay. Is there anyone who wants to discuss the motion to postpone? I'm not hearing anyone. Are there any objections to the motion to postpone Susan Young's motion on programming till September? Hearing no objections, that motion is postponed till September. Heather, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, and this is primarily speaking to Stephanie. So, Stephanie, I know that these motions are very complex. So what I wanted to say, as chair of the programming committee, we're looking forward to having a discussion with you at some point soon. So I just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. So that's the end of the program committee report. Next up is strategic planning committee. That's a 3-minute item. Jim Dingman, are you prepared to give a brief report?
Yeah. We, as people know, we helped facilitate this national fundraiser. I hope that we will be involved in doing more. I'm the pro tem chair. And there's been a formation of an underwriting task force. So they're trying to, Alex and Steinberg, who's there's several members of the committee who were former PMB members, and they're working on that. I think Jim Sagerton's working on that with them. We'll be having a meeting on Monday. And, you know, there's all sorts of things to do. But I guess the immediate focus is not only long-term, but immediate. So I guess that's the best thing to say. We've been just concentrating on racking our brains out about what to do immediately to help assuage these financial problems.
Thanks, Jim. Any questions for Jim on the strategic planning committee?
I apologize.
Go ahead, Susan.
For always having my hand up. Okay, I hate people who always have their hand up, so I hate me. Jim, I must have missed a meeting. I have been working with Beth now for several weeks on coming up with an doing analysis of what underwriting works. I have worked with Ursula Rudenberger because the affiliates have done a lot of work on that. I forwarded a motion to the entire PNB regarding authorizing Stephanie to come back with policies and procedures about this, and I have a lot of information gathered, because I would like for us to be able to move forward on underwriting as soon as possible. It's important at T, and I think it'll be important at other places.
Great. Let's put you all together with Alex and Chris and Linton, and Lynn Foley's working with him, and so is Jim. So you all just have to cooperate, that's all.
Thanks. Susan, is your motion on underwriting, that's effectively what's item 8 on tonight's agenda, right?
Correct. And I think it may not be inconsistent with what it is that the strategic planning people are apparently talking about, because what they would probably want to do would be to come back with policies and procedures. So essentially, this is authorizing a look at policies and procedures with the intention to provide a framework for appropriate underwriting.
Got it. Thank you. Teresa has her hand up, then Beth. Go ahead, Teresa.
I don't have a question about this, but because nobody gave an elections report, I thought I might make an announcement when you want to squeeze me in the elections committee.
Okay, thanks. Let's finish with strategic.
Yeah. Thank you.
Beth, go ahead.
Yes, as chair of the National Development Task Force, this is the issue of underwriting is one that I've been working on for months. It comes up from time to time in the committee, and I've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes. And so I would appreciate being included in whatever other national discussions are going on about this, especially given that I also sit on the strategic planning committee. Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Anything else from any other questions? Go ahead, Susan Young, on strategic planning.
A quick comment to Beth. Beth, I have provided all of my information to you more than once. I have called and left messages on your phone. I'm sorry that we've been unable to connect. I thought that this would be appropriately coming through the development committee. I didn't want to lose any time on it. So I hope we can all put our heads together really fast and move this forward.
Could I just make a comment, Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
Obviously, Alex has been working on this, as according to him, for several years. So everybody just has to work together. And I think he also was talking to Ursula. And so it just seems everybody's got to put their heads together to make it come even faster. So certainly, and you're a part of the Strategic Planning Committee anyway, Beth. So I guess you missed that meeting where he was talking about that.
Yeah.
I don't miss meetings.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I mean, I think the important thing is that, you know, in the spirit of Pacifica, we really should just work together and get this done because it's important. Okay. So that's the end of the Heather, did you have a question about strategic planning?
Oh, I just wanted to mention that our station here in Atlanta also does underwriting, and I want to be a part of this discussion as well. I think underwriting is very important. So
thank you. Thank you. I will acknowledge that affiliates, most of them do underwriting. And so when it comes to underwriting, if we adopt something, we should not start from scratch. We should, you know, borrow what we can from, you know, things that the affiliates have already figured out. So,
I agree. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Heather, very much for your help on this. So that's the end of the Strategic Planning Committee report. I'll give Teresa a moment to make an announcement, I think, about Elections Committee, and then we'll get back on. We'll go back to the list as we were on. Go ahead, Teresa Allen.
Yes. If you go to KPFTX, you can see that there is an event that is happening at 5 p.m. on Sunday, Eastern time, and it's listed as Elections Working Group. We are talking about elections and how we could reduce costs and raise money for them. I must admit that the assumption right now by the chair and some members of the committee is that we will not have elections this year. But that is the subject of discussion. So if you want to see the Zoom information for that meeting to listen in, and if the chair will be asking for comments or input, you're certainly welcome to give us suggestions. Again, the two things we will be discussing on would be streamlining the costs of our elections and raising money for our elections. Thank you.
Thanks, Teresa. Appreciate that.